Would you please turn with me in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 2. And as you find the place in 1 Kings chapter 2, I'd like to thank our sister Helen for coming and singing that beautiful piece to us this morning. 1 Kings and the second chapter, please. And we're going to commence the brief scripture reading at verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Amen. We trust that God will bless this short reading of his holy and precious word to all of our hearts for Christ's sake. We're now going to pray together and ask the Lord to help us to understand what he has for us from his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee this day for the precious word of God. Thy word is truth, thy word is life, thy word is light. And even in this short reading, there is so much for us. I pray now, Lord, as we come to study it, that thou wilt help me to break the bread of life and rightly declare thy word. I pray that thou wilt give hearing ears and understanding hearts to every individual in this meeting today, so that we will be spoken to by the Lord, that we will understand his word, and we will be willing to obey his word, having heard it. So gracious God, speak to us now, glorify Christ, and help us all to walk in thy way, in thy will, and according to thy word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Please look with me at verses 1 and 2 again. Think about what it's saying. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. King David is about to die, and he knows it. The stresses and strains of his action-packed life, coupled with his age, have taken their toll. The great king sees no difference between himself and the most humble servant in Israel whenever it comes to the issue of death. For he says, I go the way of all the earth. He knows that he is just like everyone else And everyone else is just like him whenever it comes to dying. And no matter how powerful David has been in life, he is just like every other citizen of Israel when it comes to death. He is powerless. Now that statement, "I go the way of all the earth," is a very sobering statement. It reminds us that we are all on this road, and go down this road we must. Every single one of us. We're on a journey. Now many people see this journey of life as a journey towards educational excellence, a journey towards economic prosperity, a journey towards social improvement. But they forget that really it's a journey towards death. That's all it is. We're all on this journey. We're all going the way of all the earth. We're all dying. And preparation for death is far more important than position in life. Never forget, you and I are going down a valley. And there are many turns on the journey. And we don't know that the next turn could be the last one. Because we're all going down this road. And we don't know when it's going to come to an end. And that's why it's so important to be saved. To be prepared to meet God. Because we're all going down this road together. And we don't know when the end is going to come. It could come quicker than any of us think. Much quicker. In the case of King David, he is saved. He is ready. He is prepared to die. He's ready to meet the Lord. And consequently, David has no fear of dying. Now, in his final moments, he is seeking to make good use of the time that remains to him by passing on sound advice to his son and his successor, Solomon. You see, David has had many experiences of life, and David has had many experiences of the Lord. David is eminently qualified to pass on advice to his son. As a child, David grew up in a tragically divided home. He had bitter brothers and resentful brothers. Doubtless that would have meant that from time to time he would have felt very insecure. Little wonder David was happier out looking after the flock than being at home with his brothers. At least out with the flock he got a bit of peace and quiet and got on with his work and had time to talk to the Lord. It's a tragic thing. Whenever a man grows up in a home where he's happier away from the home, let's make our homes happy homes. Not places where the kids would want to be away from the home. But David, well, he's happier in the plains because of the brothers and the sort of brothers they were. So he's got all these experiences. So David is a man who has had his hard times. He's a man also who was very quickly elevated from obscurity to become a war hero and to become the idol of every girl in the nation. The defeat of Goliath did that for David. He's a nobody up until that point, and when that happens, all of a sudden he's a war hero and everybody wants a piece of him. He became a mighty man. The lad became famous. He became more famous than King Saul himself. And David didn't climb the ladder of success. Oh no, he was propelled from the bottom of the ladder to the top of the ladder almost at the speed of sound. He goes from being a nobody to being a national hero. He's had plenty of experience. He also knew what it was to fall from favor and to become the most sought after and hunted bandit in the history of the nation. He became a homeless vagrant, playing hide and seek with soul and hide and seek with death. He had many, many experiences, some good, some bad. But this all turned around for him, and he became the military genius at the end of his life. The man who was able to defend his nation against all of his enemies and to conquer and defeat all of those enemies. But above all of this, he gained a deep personal knowledge of God, and he became a man after God's own heart. So David has risen from the bottom to the top, and it's been a rough journey. He has learnt a lot. He has had many friends and many enemies. He's come through it all. He's seen it all. He has done it all. He's had many experiences. He's about to die, and he wants to pass on these experiences to his son. How long does it take him to tell Solomon about the things that are important in life? Surprisingly, not very long. He sums it all up, actually, in a few sentences. He doesn't multiply words or waffle. That's the sign of someone who has something to say and knows how to say it. They get to the point. They cut out the waffle, the multiplication of words. And here's a man, he's about to die. He has had a wealth of experience, and he can pass it on to his son in a few short sentences. I suppose we could say he neither had the time nor the strength to waffle. He just had to get to the point with Solomon. I've summarized his final words under three headings. And I think that what we're about to look at today gives us the priorities in life for every Christian. What the man said to his son when he was about to go. What would you say to your son if you were about to go? What would you have to pass on to him? Well, let's see what David passed on to Solomon. First of all, he says to Solomon, "Son, be strong." Look at verse 2. He says, "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." Now, David knew that those who are tender in years and young in the faith can come under great temptation and great pressure to back away from taking a strong stand for the Lord. They can be severely tempted to compromise their convictions. In Solomon's case, this was particularly so. He's going to come under pressure to compromise. I suppose it's nearly a second and third and fourth generation thing. We take a look at the kids, and they say they're not what their parents were, and they're not what their grandparents were, and things are changing rapidly, and people don't seem to want to take a strong stand for the Lord anymore. And things are changing so quickly. This is not a new thing. There's nothing new under the sun. David knew that Solomon would be tempted to go down this route, so David encourages him to be strong. You see, Solomon now is going to hold the highest office in the land. He's going to come under all sorts of pressure to be more pragmatic and less principled, more sensitive to the demands of sinners and less concerned about the demands of the law of God, more worried about popular opinion and less interested in divine approval. And David knows this. Ah, Solomon, you're going to have to face it all now. There's going to be pressure on you. Pressure to give in. But Solomon, be thou strong, therefore. You see, David knew that his son was going to have to be strong. For if he becomes a man-pleaser instead of a God-honoring king, he will soon be destroyed, he will soon fail, he will soon fall. If he isn't going to be firm, his reign is going to be a disaster. And David knows it. Not only would his reign be chaotic, But Solomon's reign would be cut short. David knows it. Now, brethren and sisters, when it comes to spiritual things, the Lord wants us to be strong and to teach our children and our grandchildren and our successors, those coming on after us, those who'll be here when we are not here, when we've gone the way of all the earth, we're to teach them to be strong. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. So it's not just an Old Testament concept, it's a New Testament concept. Be strong. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We also read, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So over and over again, we're told, be strong in the Lord, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And let me warn you, we will all come under pressure to do the exact opposite, to be weak, not to be strong, to compromise our convictions, and that will lead us to falling away and backsliding. And again, I say to you, David knew what he was talking about. He had been through this. He had experienced it. David was a man who knew that adultery was wrong, didn't he? Yes, he knew it. Yet he yielded to that temptation and he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He knew it was wrong. He wasn't strong and he did what was wrong. Instead of being strong, he was weak. Instead of sticking to his convictions, David cast them all to one side. Instead of following the Lord, he followed the lusts of the flesh. And the end result was a spoiled testimony. And he ruined his family as well. A spoiled testimony. And a ruined family. Because he wasn't strong. Let me read to you what it says in 2 Samuel 12, verses 10, 11, and 12. I want to read this slowly. Here's what happens to David because he wasn't strong. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son, for thou didst it secretly. But I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. What does God say there? David, you weren't strong. You yielded. You gave in. You forgot about your convictions. And you did this secretly. Well, now, David, you're going to reap what you sow. And publicly, you will now be humiliated. Having time to turn to the portion where it says the sword will never depart from him. You know, he lifted the sword against Uriah the Hittite and did Uriah wrong, but the sword never left his own family, and his own family was a total disaster. Total disaster, friends. What a warning. You know, if you are not strong and if I am not strong, we will lose our testimony. We will compromise. We will dishonor God. And then God will not bless us. God will actually chastise us. And not only will we be hurt through all of this, we hurt our children. They suffer as well. The warning for Solomon was simple. Whatever cost there might be in being strong for the Lord, it's nothing compared to the cost of losing God's blessing by not being strong. It's nothing. The reproach of Christ's cross may at times be severe, but it is nothing compared to the removal of Christ's blessing. And if anyone understood this, David did. And at a time now when the outward man is failing, these are the things that are important to this man. And he gets enough strength from God to say, "Son, would you listen to me? Be strong. Don't forget it. Be strong." And we need to be strong in the Lord. But not only does he tell his son to be strong, in the second place, he tells his son to be scriptural. Look at verse 3 with me. He says to him, "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." Now, if anyone should ask, what is it to be strong in the Lord? And how is this strength to be manifested? The answer is very simple, actually. Be scriptural. That's the answer. That's how to be strong in the Lord. Be scriptural. Now, some people mistakenly think of strength as being loud, confrontational, arrogant, being a know-it-all. Your views are right and everybody else is wrong. That's what it is to be strong. Hold on a minute. It's not. To be strong in the Lord is to be scriptural. Scriptural. Not arrogant and a know-it-all and confrontational. The Savior's strength was found in his humility, his meekness, and his piety. It was in his total submission to the will of God in everything that he did, in him being scriptural. That's where Christ got his strength from. Everything he did was biblical. Everything he did was according to God's word, God's will, God's commandments. What was prophesied in the Old Testament, he did in the New. He was biblical. He was scriptural in everything. He quietly accepted the sovereign purposes of God. He submitted himself to those things. It says in John 6:38, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." True Christianity is not doing your own will. It's doing the will of him who sent us. It is being scriptural. It is being biblical. It is walking according to the scriptural pattern. That's strong scriptural Christianity. And David was emphasizing to Solomon, his son, "Son, this is the way to rule yourself. Be scriptural. This is the way to rule my people Israel. Be scriptural, son." In ruling his own emotions, tempers, attitudes, words, and actions, he was to be scriptural. Tell me, brethren and sisters, is that how we rule ourselves? Scripturally? When someone says something, you want to hit back, do you say, "Hold on a minute, I need to be meek and gentle and be scriptural about this"? Or you say, "Forget about it, I'll get stuck into them, I'll let them know what I think"? Hold on a minute. Are we scriptural? That's what it is to be strong in the Lord. To do things biblically. The repetition of various nouns in this verse serves to emphasize the fact that God wants us to be scriptural. See, David states and he restates what Solomon is to keep in this verse 3. What is he to keep? The charge of God, for a start. The charge of God, that means the watch or the guard. He's to be on his lookout at all times, alert. He's to be the sentry carrying out the duty of his commanding officer. He's to be on guard. Christians should be on guard, watching at all times. He's to keep God's statutes, according to this verse. That's anything that God has ordained or prescribed, it must be adhered to. He is to keep God's commandments, obedience at all times. He's to keep God's judgments. That's God's decisions or God's sentences. They are to be accepted without rebellion. He's just to be biblical. Biblical. Keep God's testimonies. That which is a witness for the Lord, put it into practice. Put it into practice. Everything that's a good witness for him, keep those testimonies. Practice it. You see, walking in God's way is to walk according to God's word. And that's the vital thing today. According to 1 Kings 2 and 3, it's the only way to prosper. Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. I took in the word, and I was happy." That's what it is to be strong in scriptural. Take the word in, and you'll be happy. Honestly, you will. It's the only way to be happy. And David wants his son to prosper. He wants his son to be happy. And he says, "Son, you remember the word of God. You keep it. When I'm not here, you keep it. And you'll be happy." That's a good thing to say to our kids when we're leaving this world, isn't it? Kids, remember the word of God. And you'll be happy. He says, be strong. He says, be scriptural. And finally, because of that, he says, you'll be spared. If you are strong and you're scriptural, God will spare you. Look at verse 4. If you do those things, that, or so that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. You see, God had given David a promise years and years earlier. The promise was very simple. The Lord told David that if he and his descendants keep the word and walk right before him, then they'll be blessed and they'll sit on the throne of Israel. Keep the word and walk right. Keep the word and walk right. And I'll bless you and your descendants. And I'll bless this nation. David is now repeating the promise of God to his son before he dies. And the promise is, keep the word and walk right, son. Keep the word and walk right. And God will bless you. If you want God to keep you and preserve you, son, you've got to do these things. There's no other way. As long as you do this, you'll sit on the throne. Ah, there's a lesson in that for every Christian. For me, for you. Keep the word. And walk right. And God will bless you. Can I say something to you? Keeping the word means you do walk right. When a person's not walking right, it's because they're not keeping the word. Keep the word and walk right. When you see someone sinning and flying off the handle and no self-control and full of all sorts of, they're not keeping the word. That's why they're not walking right. And brothers and sisters, let's learn to keep the word and walk right. And if we do that, God keeps his promises. God blesses his people. Not just us, but our offspring. Those who are following, tell me, are we setting them a good example? Have they got something worth following? Well, of course, Christ is the perfect example. He's the one we follow, the only Savior, the only Redeemer. He's the one we follow. But we have to set an example of true biblical Christianity for others to see it in us as well. What do they see? Keeping the word and walking right? Or not keeping the word and therefore walking incorrectly. David is about to die. He knows he has a short time left. He knows his son Solomon's going to have to take on the reins of power after he's gone, because no one's here forever. We all have to go. And he says, son, walk right before God. Be strong. Be scriptural, and God will spare you and your descendants. God will keep blessing if we keep doing this. And I really do think there's a challenge in that for all of us. Am I willing to say, Lord, I'll be strong and I'll be scriptural. And if
if I do that, then, Lord, you're going to have to spare the testimony, spare us, and bless the next generation that comes after us. Take the word on. I trust that God will challenge all of us, me first. I've preached it. I want to be challenged with this, and you as well. May God help us to go forward biblically. Amen. Let's bow together in prayer as we bring our service to a conclusion. I thank you for coming. I thank you for listening. Let's just seek the Lord's face as we prepare to depart. Father in heaven, it is with joy that we come to thee again in prayer, realizing that we need thee every hour. Realizing that if we are to live our lives the way we should, we need thy help. But Lord, we're not to think that we have no part to play in all of this. We have to be strong. And we have to be scriptural if we're going to be spared. And the next generation is going to be spared. So Lord, please write these things in all of our hearts. And as we go our separate ways, may the grace and mercy and peace of the Lord be our abiding portion. We pray in Christ's lovely name. Amen. Amen, Lord.